have an aggregate of 1,000 employees. One thing I would like in my kicking this off to caution you that you will hear some terms that have different contexts in that are used in different contexts. There is the concept itself of self-insurance, which can be explained differently in different settings. There is also one called self-administration, and you will perhaps hear premium-based programs. I will not try to explain those to you, but I will only ask you to consider them without bias about what you may have thought that meant, because there is a definition involved here, and I think that's part of the difficulty you may have is trying to figure out just what are we talking about in this case. I will anticipate for you that you will hear opponents talk about a concern about privacy of individuals and maybe having that not safeguarded. My understanding is that self-insurance in this context would not permit employers to have access to claims information in any greater degree than currently is allowed, but you'll have to judge that for yourself. You will also have people tell you that it offers districts the opportunity to reduce benefits, and I will just say that that, again, is not my understanding. My understanding is that self-insurers would be required to give the same mandated benefits to employers who have traditional methods. They will have to provide any benefits which have been negotiated with their employees in the collective bargaining process. I will ask you to give to consideration for it to this bill, and if you feel that it does serve the public, then to give it to your recommendation. Perhaps we can offer school districts and other large public entities the opportunity to save tax dollars while still protecting health benefits to their employees, and if that's the case, that would be good law. There appears to be no valid reason why these districts should be excluded, but I will only ask you to give consideration, and I think you will hear both sides. Therefore, I wish you good luck. Is there anything that I can answer at this time? I am not billing myself as an expert, and you'll get, as I understand, considerable testimony, but I'd be glad to answer anything you may want to ask me.
Mr. Chairman?
Your testimony says that they would be bound to provide any benefits which had been negotiated with employees. I wonder if you could point out where they are bound to do that.
Well, perhaps what I should have said is that my understanding of this concept would not exclude being able to live up to those contractual arrangements.
There's no requirement, though. There's no direct language that where they are bound to do that.
I don't think I can answer that, whether or not there is or not. And if that becomes an issue and you think there should be something in there that says that that they should do that and still live within this concept, then that would be an appropriate thing to do.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I assume this is sort of a request of the Worcester County School District or something.
Well, it originated that way, yes. As I mentioned early on, that the Beaverton School District did this for 2 years, felt they were doing it successfully, and then when legislation went through that allowed municipalities, but specifically excluded school districts, they had to terminate. So the answer is yes. However, I don't think it's restricted, if that's what you're asking. They were just the one who asked, and I think that we have now found that there is interest among these types of organizations throughout the state.
Mr. New in this committee, I'm trying to get this insurance thing in mind. Are you aware at all, and I know we're both sort of in the same boat, of any cities or counties that are self-insured other than the liability situation?
I am not.
I'm not either. I just don't know what usual. Maybe we can find that.
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
They are allowed to do it.
They are allowed to. That's right.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and that's a very good question, and I think we should provide you with that.
No question?
Thank you.
Megan Shirley, Pat Brown, Frank Hall. Five minutes.
Mr. Chairperson and members of the committee, I'm Mary Ann Shirley representing Oregon School Employees Association. I'll cut mine real short. OSEA opposes House Bill 2761. I have asked Pat Brown, Vice President of Frank B. Hall Consulting Company, to explain the reasons for OSEA's opposition.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Patricia D. Brown. I'm an employee benefit consultant with Frank B. Hall Consulting Company in Portland. The parent company, Frank B. Hall Incorporated, is the third largest international risk management and insurance brokerage firm. The following comments are made on behalf of our client, the Oregon School Employees Association, expressing concerns that cause OSEA to oppose House Bill 2761, which would allow public school districts, union high school districts, education service districts, and community colleges to enter into self-insurance arrangements for the purpose of providing health benefits to employees. Insurance is the protection against financial loss provided by an insurer. It is the contractual transference of risk from the insured to the insurance company. For a stated cost, the insurer guarantees certain payments under stated conditions. If the cost is less than necessary to finance the incurred losses, the insurer is responsible for the excess. The advantages of insurance include the indemnification of those who suffer unexpected losses and the elimination of uncertainty and or adverse consequences to the insured individual, the employer, and ultimately to society. Self-insurance, more clearly described as self-funding, is the retention of risk rather than transference to a third party. The self-insurer bears all of the risk and must be prepared to meet the fluctuating flow of claim payments. Relief from unanticipated catastrophic claims may be available through the purchase of stop-loss reinsurance, but is not required. Self-funding may be accompanied by self-administration or administrative services such as claim payment, actuarial, underwriting, and other services may be purchased from insurance carriers or third-party administrators. The ideal candidate for self-funding is a profitable private employer with several thousand employees whose demographic characteristics indicate a spread of risk over diverse and hopefully healthier than average employees. The employer must be able to absorb the maximum potential loss as a current operating expense or out of reserve funds which have been set aside. The ability to sustain such loss depends upon the economic status and liquidity position of the self-funded employer. Assuming that valid claims will occur regardless of the funding method, the advantages of self-funding are generally thought to be: 1, the avoidance of premium tax; 2, cash flow benefits accrue to the employer who holds reserves rather than to the insurance company; 3, the possibility of reduced administrative and other expenses charged by an insurer. The Oregon School Employees Association is convinced self-funding school employee health benefits would not be in the best interests of school districts, employees, or the state. In response to the three general assumptions listed above, self-funding would not necessarily be beneficial. First, premium tax is not presently being paid when the insurer is a domestic insurance company or healthcare contractor. Avoidance of premium tax currently being paid by foreign carriers would result in a reduction of revenue to the state of Oregon. Second, cash flow benefits should accrue to the benefit of the employees who have, through the collective bargaining process, traded salary dollars for benefit dollars, and in many cases are payroll deducting to cover dependent medical costs. Interest accumulated on funds held in claims reserves should benefit the participant rather than the employer. Under an insured plan, such as the plan sponsored by the Oregon School Employees Association, the interest accrual is utilized to offset claim and administrative expenses, which is a direct benefit to the participant. 3, reduction of administrative expenses to the minimum necessary for efficient service can be achieved regardless of the funding method. Competitive comparison of administrative expenses in the school employee benefit delivery system has already resulted in extremely low retention expense in Oregon. The real danger is that self-funding will influence the employer to reduce, deny, or delay benefit payments.
Summarize your request. Have only 5 minutes.
Okay.
Within 2 minutes.
Okay. I'd like to just finish this one section because we do believe that it is a real danger that claim payments may be influenced by the employer's desire to conserve funds. In addition to those three items that I just listed, there are a few additional items we wish to call to your attention. Economic security is important to the school employees. The adequacy of the financing of future risk brings the employee into an area where he may have to bear some of the risk if there is inadequate financing. We are concerned about the undermining of the collective bargaining process. Presently, as the bill is written, it would allow aggregations in order to meet the minimum 1,000 person requirement to create a self-funded program. We are worried about the impact this may have on the collective bargaining process because it might place bargaining units in a position of being pressured to join a larger group. No longer would their own specific needs be addressed, but the needs of the larger group would become more important. We're very concerned about the situation which may occur if there is an aggregation of groups and adverse claims experience occurs. Some of the members of the group may withdraw from the group, leaving probably the group that had the worst experience would be the last group left and would be responsible for 100% of the liability for all the claims incurred by the entire group prior to their departure dates. The sixth item is the fact that there may be some liability which is currently being transferred to an insurance company which may become the liability of the school district. When stop-loss reinsurance is purchased, it can take on claims liability at a certain point. It may not be in a position to take on fiduciary responsibility that rests in the hands of the people responsible for the self-funded program, probably trustees or other officers of the self-funded group. I give you at the end some summary as to what is going on in the private sector with regard to self-funded programs. You will note there has not been a big movement in that direction recently because there is the motivating factor several years ago was the high short-term interest rates that were available, which are no longer available. In summary, we're concerned about school employees being able to rely on the benefits that they are guaranteed through their collective bargaining agreement. We feel the only way to achieve that is through an insured program. I'll be happy to entertain questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Brown, does most districts now that you're aware of, do they negotiate a certain cost or price in their collective bargaining agreement? Other than $150 a month per employee, or do they negotiate a certain amount of benefits?
There are basically two approaches used presently. One approach is, as you just stated, where a certain dollar amount is available and it is applied toward benefits. Who selects those benefits is another matter, which is also needs to be determined. Another way that districts provide their benefits is to state the district shall provide medical, dental, life insurance, etc., without a cost being named. That's another approach.
What's your 50-50 or is it now than the other?
Those two approaches I described are the two extremes, and there are many in between where you may have a combination of those two benefits named plus a dollar cap named. I'd say there's probably a pretty even mix.
Okay, among the bigger districts, it's pretty even, or is it? In other words, those that have more than 1,000 employees.
I'd say it's pretty even. I'm not certain as to what the wording is in the particular districts you may be thinking of.
It seems to me Salem School District negotiates benefits, not a cost.
I'm sorry, I do not have knowledge of their contract.
I see Mr. Brock back there, so I'll ask him when he comes up. Thank you.
I just have a, I guess a question and maybe even more of a statement. I guess I was thinking when you talked about possibly five districts or so having to join together to achieve this, the amount of employees required to self-insure, and then if one of them has a bad experience, the other's dropping out. It would seem to me that that would really be dependent on the agreement that they enter into when they join the group, would it not?
Oh, I'm certain you're correct. What I'm concerned about is that there's no assurance to the employees that any agreement would be entered into.
You mean you're suggesting that five school districts or whatever would join together and not have a written agreement that they were all going to participate in this program?
I don't know. I don't believe it's addressed in this. I'm sorry, if it is addressed in the bill, and
I'm not sure that it is addressed, but I'm just, I mean, logic tells me when you're dealing with that much money, you just don't do it on a handshake and a smile.
We would certainly hope that there would be a written agreement, yes.
Thank you.
No question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, on that moment.
Good afternoon. I'm Lauren Damon. I'm an assistant vice president of the firm of Jewett, Barton, Levy, and Kern in Portland, Oregon. We're the oldest and largest independent brokerage and consulting firm in the state of Oregon. We somewhat specialize in the design, benefit design, and funding mechanisms for public bodies. Representative Anderson made a comment over here earlier in his testimony wanting to know if any cities or counties in the state of Oregon self-fund their employee benefit programs. I allude here in my testimony, the very first public body self-funded employee benefit program in the state of Oregon was the Multnomah County Employees Group, which myself and my firm set up about nine years ago. I forget the exact year that it was done. That was the first public body self-employed benefit program in the state of Oregon. The second large public body self-employed benefit program in the state of Oregon was the Beaverton School District in 1981. Myself and my firm set up that self-funded plan for the Beaverton School District. In 1982, we originated and set up the self-funded employee benefit program for approximately 2,000 to 2,500 employees at the city of Portland. So of the three largest public employee self-funded employee benefit programs were set up by myself or my firm in the last 10 years period of time. And for that reason, I fully support the intent of the legislation, which allows school districts in the state of Oregon to use partial or full self-funding of their medical, dental, and long-term disability income programs. It's been my experience in dealing with a broad section and cross-scope of public and private employers in the state that the level of fiscal expertise in school districts is every bit as great as it is in any other public employer or even private employer. When I sit down with the fiscal directors of the Salem School District or the Beaverton School District or Shemeketa Community College, all of which we have or do represent, I find that they are as fiscally astute as when I sit down with the chief controller and financial officer of Northwest Natural Gas Company, which I also represent. Schools, I don't believe, should be for any reason excluded from being able to use the same funding mechanisms that are currently being used, as far as I know, by every large public employer in the state of Oregon. The bill here, 2761, allows school districts with 1,000 employees or more to use self-funding. It is my belief, and I don't handle every one of these groups, but we do handle some of the larger ones, that every public city, or excuse me, every public employer who's a city or a county that has more than 1,000 employees in the state of Oregon is already using self-funding or partial self-funding of their employee benefits. And I feel that I could go without challenging and say that there probably is not a private employer in the state of Oregon that has 1,000 employees or more who's not already using a form of self-funding. The concerns voiced here by earlier testimony and alluded to by Mr. Calori simply don't exist because we're talking about five or six school districts in the state of Oregon. that potentially could self-fund under this bill. We're talking dozens and dozens and dozens of self-funded programs that already exist here in the state of Oregon, where none of those concerns have ever borne true. The bill does require, and we get here into a differentiation I want to make. Number two, the bill does require school districts to provide state-mandated benefits to their employees. Other public employees are not required to do that in the state of Oregon. If you are a city or a county and want to self-fund your employee benefits, you can do that, and you are exempted from the insurance code, and you do not have to provide mandated benefits. But in effect, as a matter of principle, neither myself nor my firm has ever used that loophole to avoid delivering mandated benefits to employees, nor, as far as I know, is it common in the industry for consultants such as myself to use the vehicle of self-funding with public employers to avoid mandated benefits. Yes, sir.
Sir, I think what you said is not true, because if there are S here,
mm-hmm.
It says the health insurance includes all coverages and benefits required of group health insurance policies in the ORS Chapter 743.
It does say that in the bill, yes. In the statute.
In the law, too.
Statutes.
In the statutes.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You say they are required? Well, I know some of them that are not. I know a couple of them that are not doing it. It is not common practice. And I'm thinking particularly of 1984, the six-month continuation of benefits. Some people have used that, and but I'm not aware that people are that are not doing that because of that bill. If you say it is, then I'll take your word for it. School districts currently use other forms of self-funding. They do it in their workman's compensation bill, or workman's compensation. They do it in their property and casualty insurance. So the idea of self-funding is not a new concept to school districts, because they use it in other forms of insurance that they're currently purchasing. Item number four, self-funding, when properly designed by competent consultants and carried out by competent fiscal people, is no more risky to a school district than a fully insured plan. The risk is only unsafe when maximum cost is either unknown or unfunded. Self-funding includes known maximum costs and required funding of that cost. So I see that self-funding requires or has no inherent risk. And a risk is only a risk if you don't have the funds to cover it. It's my feeling the state should encourage the use of management tools that enhance the ability of school districts to get the maximum use out of the taxpayer dollars that they have to spend. As I alluded to earlier, I hear some objections to self-funding as they apply to schools, but not to as they apply to schools, but to self-funding itself. I might address a few of this. We've heard about loss of privacy, employers having increased access to information about the natures of employees' illnesses or accidents, and this is totally untrue. Third-party administrators and insurance company claims processors live in morbid, almost paranoid fear of divulging information to employers regarding the illness or the nature of accidents of employees. Access to specific information regarding an employee's medical treatment is not ever, under any circumstances, available to an employer. It's not even available to most of the employees of the insurance company or the third-party administrators. I worked for 10 years prior to being with Jewett, Barton, Levy & Kern as an employee of the state's largest health insurance carrier, and I know for a fact the security measures used internally with an insurance company are extraordinary, almost to the point of being excessive, to guard the privacy of the information that they have in paying employees. As an employee of this insurance company, and I did not have access to that, nor did most of the employees in the insurance company have access to that, because it was on a need-to-know basis. Statistical information available to employers regarding the claims, the amount of claims, and the cost of processing those claims doesn't differ whether the plan is self-funded or whether it's fully insured. The software packages developed by the insurance industry to develop management reports don't make any differentiation between that program being self-funded or being fully insured. The computer doesn't know when it pays a claim. In most cases, the claims analysts who pay the claims processors, as we call them, don't know whether the plan is self-funded or whether it's fully insured. The type and kind of information coming to an employer under a self-funded plan is only meaningful when it's delivered in the same format that it would be delivered under a fully insured program. employee benefit costs, medical, dental, and long-term disability income will continue to escalate to all employers, both public and private. We have not yet got a handle on how to stop that. Partial or full self-funding can be an effective tool to help offset these rising costs. It should not be selectively denied to school districts in Oregon, particularly when the objections to this bill must be considered political and not fiscal in nature.
Question?
Do you have any questions?
Go ahead. A couple of questions. First, the question of cash flow benefits and what happens to interest on accumulated funds. What happens to those under the self-insured plan?
Well, generally speaking, the employer uses the accumulated interest off of the cash flow advantage to offset the cost of the program. They usually remain in the risk management fund to cover the liabilities that they might be incurring under a self-funded program.
Is it any different than under a
fully insured plan? No, most of the large fully insured plans that we have designed today allow for maximum cash retention by the client anywhere from 1 to 3 months of average.